Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you. Yesterday, I had a chance to reflect on the book, He Leadeth Me, Mental Prayer as an Act of Spiritual Reading. And I took a look at one paragraph from the chapter on the apostolate. Today, I'm going to gather some insights drawn through the book itself about the spiritual life. And I'm going to bring you through the day of a life of a disciple based on insights that I got from this book, He Leadeth Me. Back in a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, thank you for the gift of being disciples. Thank you, Father, that you have created us to be disciples of your Son, Jesus, and as his followers, that we will grow in our reality as children of God, that we've been elevated to share in your own divine life, Father. We have no idea the fullness of what that even means. And Lord, we lose sight of that reality so often. And so today, Lord, I ask that as we walk through this journey of faith as a disciple in our day-to-day lives, that we'll be blessed by the insights of Father Chizik. Lord, we ask for him to be enjoying the fullness of eternal life with you in heaven. And we ask for his intercession as well. Father Chizik, pray for us as we reflect on your book, He Leadeth Me, that we too would be led by the Spirit, be led by you, O Holy Spirit, in the course of our day-to-day lives. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you've listened to me share in the last week or so, since I've been going through this book, He Leadeth Me, I've commented several times how impactful this book has been on my life, surprisingly so. And the reason why is that he's been able to connect to his own journey of faith, his own lived experience of being in these horrific circumstances. He is able to draw out meaningful connections to fundamental principles and practices in our life of faith. Things, of course, like prayer, the practice of the presence of God, the seeking of uniformity with God's will, the concept of abandoning oneself to divine providence and experiencing divine providence, the peace and joy that can flow from that, the capacity to experience meaningful living in the midst of dark trials, daily suffering, extreme broken negative circumstances, and finding a way to connect those to the passion of Christ. And the zeal that can flow from all of that to continue to walk that path day to day. So what I just laid out for you are a series of, and it really does, it flows in that way. There's a flow to those things that I just shared that are brought out and reflected upon in this book, He Leadeth Me. And today I want to synthesize it down. By the way, we're going to be talking about this book, He Leadeth Me. I mentioned this. It's going to be a book club edition of the program that's coming a week from Monday. And so it's going to be something that you'll be able to benefit from yourself. And I encourage you to pick up this book, get yourself a copy of the book, He Leadeth Me by Walter Chizik. Chizik is spelled C-I-S-Z-E-K, Walter Chizik. So what I hope to do in this program is break open those insights around the practice of living our lives, your and my life, every day as disciples. I'm only going to allude to certain elements of the book, and instead, because I do want to save that for the book club, but I want to make sure that I'm sharing with you insights that are like alive for me in a new way, in a fresh way. And I think that's part of the reason why I want to talk about this book more than just on the book club, is that there's so much here that is refreshing and enlightening. And it just feels like to me that this book is worthy of having a much broader audience to plumb the depths. So with that said, and again, part of the reason why for me is that it's interwoven into the journey that Father Chizik takes into Russia over the course of 23 years. It's just exhausting thinking about what he went through for those 23 years. So, all right, with that said, the beginning point, and this is the beginning point of this chain of principles for living our lives day to day as disciples, is one. And again, not all these are going to be like, wow, that's I've heard these before, but bringing them out into the open and hearing them again and taking them seriously or with any new insight, that's the value. That's the reason. So the first one is prayer, putting prayer first. It's something that Father Chizik brings out again and again and again, that constant need of daily prayer, the requirement of every single day beginning with prayer, that this was like the drumbeat of this book, He Leadeth Me, that when you hear about what he went through, again, unexpectedly, when he's on mission, first in Poland, attempting to make his way into Russia, that the unexpected starts to happen. The outbreak of the World War, and the Russians invade the city, and then he has to discern, what does God want for him? Does God want him to stay with the people of the community where he has been assigned? Or has God opened a door through this tragedy of the world war starting for him to make his way into Russia and there fulfill what was his discerned call, which is to go do missionary work in Russia? And the only way that he could come to clarity was through prayer and this fervent, persistent praying. So I bring this out into the open for you and for me as a like stark yet simple reminder that we're not facing the severity and the intensity and the length of trials and suffering that Father Chizik underwent, but he makes it crystal clear. If you're not praying to start your day, if you're not giving time to the Lord, making time for the Lord, determined to put him first in our thoughts and in our action through prayer, setting that time aside, setting ourselves apart to be with the Lord in prayer, we will be falling short and settling for less in all the rest of the things that follow from that in our lives as disciples. It's something, I don't know, I've shared this so many times, that when I get up early, early enough, and if I need to get up earlier, if I get up early and I'm at early for the sake of quiet time in prayer with the Lord, nurturing that relationship first, it is uncanny how the rest of the day just flows. Doors that I didn't even know were there become opened or become apparent to me. Things that I thought that I would have to get done were all of a sudden brought to me or were done for me. Things that I thought were going to be so hard resolve themselves in with ease. It's so apparent in our lives if we, when we make our commitment to pray, that we begin to see the hand of God opening things up, that his grace is more active, leading and providing and protecting us. But when we give short shrift to that time, when we cut it down, diminish it, when we somehow just make excuses, really, to say, I was too tired today, or got to bed too late last night. And boy, isn't that the greatest robber or the greatest reason why we end up missing out on a good prayer time in the morning? It's just staying up too late. And staying up too late, we're swindling ourselves out of a richer prayer life. Swindling, meaning we willingly give up something that is good and in getting back something in return that frankly is just not that valuable. Because I would say, honestly, for how many of us, the reason why we ended up staying up too late the night before was watching a show, watching a movie, or scrolling on our phones, probably not doing things that were very life-giving for our spiritual lives. And so if we're staying up late, the phrase that we use around here is wasting your life, wasting your life on purely entertaining types of things, even if they're, not harmful, right? I'm not even talking about falling into dark and sinful things on the internet or through the content that we're consuming, even just like harmful entertainment, a harmless entertainment at one level ends up being harmful at another level. And what's that other level? Well, we didn't get as much sleep. So when we wake up, we're just a bit more tired. And maybe while we were up the night before, we were also eating or drinking something that can weigh us down. And again, it makes it harder for prayer. And so I want to make an appeal, a plea from Father Chizik's book. When life does get harder, we will want to have in place a strong prayer life, a strong life of prayer that begins each day. And I'm not talking about 5 minutes. I'm not even talking about 15 minutes or 20 minutes. Come on, I dare you to try to pray too long in the morning. I dare you to get up so early that you're giving too much time to God in prayer before you start your day. And so that means at least an hour, at least an hour. And I know that sounds so radical, but can you build towards that? Can you put more effort towards that? You just might be surprised at the spiritual benefits, the graces that get poured into your life if you're willing to extend yourself on behalf of your relationship with the Lord. Because that's what prayer is doing, right? Prayer is nurturing your union with God through Jesus Christ. Prayer is nurturing a relationship with God the Father. Prayer is fostering a deeper sense of intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Prayer is learning, being schooled, discipled by Jesus himself regarding who I am, and what I am to be about in the course of my day. Prayer is that place in the morning where I can receive from the Lord the graces that He knows I'll need during that day. Prayer in the morning can be that place where I am learning to exercise those fundamental acts in the spiritual life of surrender, of docility, being receptive and open, abandoning and trusting myself into God's hands, receiving God's enlightenment and the illumination of my mind, strengthening my heart, purifying my emotions and passions. So many of these benefits happen when we step apart from our other activities and we hold in reserve our time, our attention, our focus, our energy for the Lord and for that relationship. Just think of how pleasing it must be to the Lord for us to say, I'm getting up early, I'm getting up, and I am protecting my time with God. I prefer more time with the Lord in the morning than I do binge watching that one more episode at night. So if we're going to begin our life of discipleship day to day in the right way, we must begin with prayer.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. So today I'm walking through a series of insights that are connected to our daily life as disciples. I'm drawing on the book, He Leadeth Me, by Father Walter Chizik. And I'm not referencing any one particular section, but rather like gathering a bouquet of flowers, just insights that are drawn across multiple chapters and are connected to really what he ends up living day to day. And it, because his situation was so stark and extreme, it can draw out into the open with powerful clarity things that we ought to be doing ourselves in our own life of faith. And I'm sharing it with you in the hopes that we all, will be able to benefit from the way that he unfolds the daily life of discipleship that he lived in these extraordinary circumstances in his book, He Leadeth Me. So he begins with this like foundational principle. You have to pray constantly, perseveringly, first thing in the day. And just, you can imagine in his circumstance and in these camps, in Siberian labor camps for 15 years, waking up and having to face these terrible circumstances, he had to pray. He had to pray if he was going to be able to make it through that day. And so we can do that. And so that was the first part of the program I was sharing with you. Let's not settle for less in our day. Let's, if he can do it, we can do it. We can do it from our comfortable homes. They're warmer than his. They are softer than his. They're nicer than his. They are easier than his. And if he could get up and he could pray in the midst of his circumstances, we can do this. We can and we ought to do this. Okay. That then leads to this next step. And if we don't get the first step right, then none of the other steps are going to make any sense. But the second step is what he refers to, and this is again something that was a Jesuit. He's been formed in, and it's something that you've heard us talk about on Sound Insight or on the program for how many years, is the practice of the presence of God. The famous short, easy to read book by Brother Lawrence of the Resurrection, The Practice of the Presence of God, is all about what? It's all about living your life in the details, in the concrete circumstances and situations that you're facing day to day, with this awareness of God's presence. That the life that we are living, that you and I are living, we face a barrage of distractions that would attempt to dislodge this sensitivity to God's presence, this awareness that I'm living my life in the presence of God, in the sight of God. And one of the key words that Father Chizik will employ throughout his book, He Leadeth Me, is the word that is signifying the concept of awareness. When I see, when I saw, when I realized, when I was aware, when I had the awareness of, I understood that. He's constantly referencing this idea of awareness, the awareness of God's presence. And that is traced back to the time he spent with God in prayer. And when you hear it that simply put, it's like an of course type of reality. Well, of course, if you spend time in the presence of the Lord consciously, intentionally, in a set apart way, that's prayer. When you are consciously, intentionally nurturing by God's grace, union with Jesus Christ through prayer, when you're fostering a deepened awareness of the movement of the Holy Spirit within you and the transcendent presence of God the Father beyond you shining through the world, and the concrete presence of Jesus who is with you day to day, shepherding you as Lord and Savior, as brother and friend, right? That Trinitarian presencing of God in your life day to day, that in your prayer, sorry, in your time of prayer, through your meditation and your contemplation, through your doing the liturgy of the hours, through your journaling and spiritual reading, all of these things are going to do what? They're going to have an overflow into your daily life. There's going to be that overflow benefit into what happens when you're done with your prayer time. So you finish your prayer time, and now you're going to get up and you're going to be go have some breakfast. The family's going to be getting up. You're going to start your day. You might be headed off to work. You're going to go to the gym. And by the way, don't pray while you're working out. Pray, do your spiritual exercise separate from your physical exercise. Now, if you want to, do both. Take time where all you're doing is focused on the Lord and prayer and God. And then while you're working out, yeah, add to that. Do some more. But make sure that time set apart for the Lord is time set apart for the Lord alone. Okay. And so that then, and this is one of the things Brother Lawrence of the Resurrection brings out, is that this practice of the presence of God while you're washing the dishes, doing the laundry, cleaning your room, going out and working out in the garden or in our circumstances, it's because he was in a monastery. For us, it would be, you know, we're going to work, we're interacting with people at the store and wherever we're going, getting gas, right? Wherever your situation is, if you've prayed in that specific time, that time that you gave first to God in the morning, you'll find that there'll be an overflow into these activities where you will have an awareness of God's presence. The practice of the presence of God is a daily intentional act by which I'm seeking to exercise my seeing, my realization, my consciousness, my awareness, my attentiveness to the fact that even though I'm doing things that are not like saying the name of God out loud and doing things that are churchy and religious, I have a background awareness. I have an awareness that God is here. And I want you to stop and think about how important that was for Father Chizik. How could he get through the days and the months, weeks, years that he went through solitary confinement and terrible, not interviews, where he was interrogated in that worst of the Soviet prisons in Moscow and Lubyanka, and then the 15 years that he spent in the labor camps. That, again, we just say it out loud, 15 years. Oh, yeah, well, it's 15 years. Stop and think. From 2009 until now, every day waking up and going to a labor camp and having to face these harsh, terrible, up at the Arctic Circle in Siberia. Are you kidding me? I couldn't take 15 minutes, 15 days. 15 weeks, 15 months, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10, 15 years. How did he do it? The practice of the presence of God. The practice of the presence of God. And so he had this awareness that was nurtured because of his prayer that God was present. If he can do it, we can do it. If he was able to live that, that's something that we can do as well. So let's move on to the third one. So what are we doing? We're kind of walking through a day and we're teasing and kind of piecing together these foundational principles to living our lives as disciples based on the way that he, Father Chizik, maps these out in his book, He Leadeth Me. So start with prayer. That's the first pillar. The second is moving from that. He went from praying in specific times to praying always. That's what this practice of the presence of God is that you're praying always because you're always aware that whatever you're doing it in the presence of God. Okay. Now, he states also so clearly that this practice of the presence of God wasn't equated with a tangible, felt presence, that there wasn't always these, like, the angels singing and the warmth of God's love washing over him as he was in the freezing weather, miraculously sustained against the elements of the cold. No. It was this raw faith, this faith brought a type of certainty, a conviction, this certitude, this constant confidence is the word, the phrase that he used. That's that hope that accompanied him. So even in the midst of a lack of felt consolation, or let's call it existential awareness of the presence of the Lord, there was a conviction, a knowing in faith that God was present. And that led to the next step in his spiritual journey of discipleship day to day. Okay, I'm praying. I'm practicing the presence of God, and that's often meaning for me the raw clinging to faith that God is with me. And the third aspect of this is this theme of the will of God. The will of God. And so this will of God is connected to the reality that God is provident. Provident. And so this is another book that is, again, famous that he would have read. This is actually written by a Jesuit, by Jean-Pierre de Caussade, Abandonment to Divine Providence. Clearly a book he would have read, Father Chizik, and would have been formed in. The concept of abandoning oneself to divine providence. And in that book, this book of Abandonment to Divine Providence, there is this idea of the sacrament of the present moment, which, what a great phrase, the sacrament of the present moment. And by that, de Caussade is saying that in each moment of each day, okay, now listen to this, no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, each moment has the capacity to be a sign and a means of communicating, a sign and an instrument, a means of communicating, a connection to God, or a connection to the provident God, the God who is providing. Now, why is that important? Well, you look at this book, He Leadeth Me, and I'm trying to remember a book other than that book on Abandonment to Divine Providence. Maybe there's another one that has a similar theme, Uniformity with God's Will by St. Alphonsus de Liguori. And it is this idea that that every moment we ought to have this faith that God is providing for us. God is providing for us in this moment. And if we have that spiritual maturity, that exercise of our spiritual muscle, we will be able to acknowledge, affirm, and embrace that whatever is happening to me here and now in this moment is in fact an expression of God's divine providence. And I can abandon myself in any one of these moments. I can surrender and entrust myself in any one of these moments to God's divine providence. And so having a formed idea, having a mature understanding of divine providence, that God is providing, God is a good and loving Father who provides for us, come what may, or in the everyday, in the here and now, in what you're going through today, God is still the provident God who is ministering his providential care into your life. That is, again, a truth that is hard to wrap our minds around. Well, if it was hard for us, what was it like for Walter Chizik? Back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. It's great to be with you today. So we all want to grow in the spiritual life. I hope and pray that you find sources of nourishment for your spiritual life, for your mind, to form spiritually the thinking about what are the things to do and to grow in the spiritual life, but your heart as well. How do I experience the love of the Lord? How do I exercise my what I'm loving and what I'm determined to do? And then community, being able to do that together. In a certain way, this book, He Leadeth Me, has been, for me already, a source of forming my mind, forming my heart, and doing it together with community. In a more limited way, like I'm sharing with you, and you're my community at one level. I've been sharing more with Kerry about this and reading some sections with her. And that's been some beautiful conversations. And then the book club that we'll be doing coming up in a week, in a week and a half. Another form of community sharing around a book. can be such a gift. The theme that I mentioned earlier is that this idea that when you see someone go through something in an extreme way, it can kind of clear space, can clear some conceptual space and say, oh, wow, that extreme or extraordinary situation breaks open for me my more ordinary circumstance and situation. And so I'm hoping that that's what this, well, this book has definitely done that for me. And I'm hoping that I'm conveying it in a way that it's being a blessing to you as well. So the theme I was just talking about was divine providence. I don't think that that theme has been, I don't know, taught on very much, at least in my own life. That this would be one of those themes that I don't think really I was formed in just growing up, you know, in the home that I grew up in, and which was a devout Catholic home, or even in the seminary. I think the closest would be, you know, God has a path or a plan for your life, and you can discern that, or you ought to discern vocation, you know, that sort of thing. But very specifically, this idea that God is a provident God, and you can see his shepherding care over your life, not just in a general way, not in just the big trends, not even in the positive flow of things, but in the way that Father Chizik spells it out in He Leadeth Me. He has this way of saying, like, even just, I said this before, the title, He Leadeth Me. It's taken from Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters. He leadeth me to green pastures. Right? He restores my soul. He leadeth me through dark valleys. I fear no evil. And that's the part that is God's providence. And that's the part that is so powerfully shocking, is that how did you experience the presence of God and the providence of God when for 5 years, and it wasn't like, we're going to keep you here for 5 years. It was an unspecified length of time in terrible circumstances. And then 15 years on top of that, how did you ever claim God is providentially taking care of me? Because it didn't look like it. It didn't look like you were being led by the Lord. It looks like you were being led by, again, the commandant or the guards, the masters that were over you and slave driving you into these terrible circumstances, and to just cling to that raw truth, no matter what I'm experiencing, no matter what I'm going through right now, no matter that, not knowing the future, not knowing how long this will go on or how it's going to turn out, will I survive this? In what condition will I be if I ever get through this? To be able to say, God's provident. I am rock solid clear on that. God is providing for me every day. And the thing that correlates to that is this theme of God's will and my willing what God wills for me today. And this is again, like, what I found so just mind-blowing, right? I keep trying to find phrases that are different to get this across to you, that what was so mind-blowing for me was that he is not only saying God's providentially taking care of me and he is leading me as he's going through his days, but he ends up able to say, this is what God wills for me today, what I'm going through today, what I'm experiencing today is God's will for me. And it is my job to say yes to that. It is my job to will what God wills for me. And he makes such a big deal about the obedience of Christ and that call in the scriptures, excuse me, to this radical willingness to be led, to be to say yes, to obey what it is that God has for him. And so for him, wakes up in the morning in the labor camp and he prays and he's going to cling to the truth that God is present to him in the midst of the darkness of the night of faith as he's going through these terrible circumstances. And he is saying that I am in the presence of the Lord and he is with me. And not only that, he's taking care of me. He's providing for me. You're barely surviving food, clothing, shelter, the dangers of the people around you. And not only that, this is God's will for you. You're a priest, and somehow you're going to accomplish this ministry, and you're saying yes to it. This is what God wills for me today. I have to tell you, that's quite an advance, a much more mature position than I'm typically accustomed to reading in other spiritual writings in our Catholic faith and in my own life of faith. I'll often hear it said that there's a very quick, like when times are tough, there's this distinction made between God's perfect will and God's permissive will. And it's a way of sort of getting God off the hook, right? That's I'm kind of maybe speaking too strongly there, but the idea is, oh, when things are going well, that's God's perfect will for you. But when things are going badly or harshly, or you're undergoing a trial and a difficulty or a tribulation, well, you know what? That's not God's perfect will for you, but God's permitting it because he's going to bring something good out of it. And so there's a quick use of that distinction to say, well, you know, God, he is provident over the whole world, but over the brokenness of your circumstances, well, he's permitting that because he's going to redeem it. He's going to bring something good out of it. That is not what Father Chizik is saying in his book. He is much more like raw and right there, boots on the ground. This is what God wills for me today. This. And in fact, he points to the biggest place of suffering that he went through was a spiritual interior suffering to the point of despair where he broke down in Lubyanka prison. And he referred to that most dark moment as God's will for him, and in fact, the source of the greatest blessing. It was that happened to him that was used by God, that God broke him and broke him open to really understand that God was a provident God, that God would do it, not him. God would take care of him. God had the power. God would lead, and not his power, not his strength. And so reading this story, it is mind-blowing from that standpoint of what does it mean that God is provident and that God wills what I'm going through today. Not just that, oh, you know, the trial came, the difficulty, the temptation came, the brokenness came, and God's going to be with me through it, and he'll rescue me from it. Instead of saying, I meet God in it, and I meet God as it. Hey, did you hear that? I meet God in the tribulation, and I meet God as the tribulation. That's how provident God is. That's how powerful God's will is at work in my life. And that is what can transform even the most broken circumstance from something that is evil to something that is a place of God's providential care. Back in a minute. All right, welcome back to the program. So if you've been tracking along with me, I've been mapping out these foundational principles that are part of the daily life of Father Chizik in the course of his 23 years in Russia, in these terrible, crying, painful, suffering circumstances that he endured. And he writes about it in his book, He Leadeth Me. And I'm pulling together this bouquet from that book. It's not talked about in the way that I'm saying it in any one place. But as I've just been pondering and reflecting and writing about what I've seen here, it has come into clarity for me, and I'm sharing it with you, hopefully to be a blessing. So we began with the foundation of prayer. You have to put prayer first, the first thing in your day, a generous use of time of giving yourself over to the Lord in prayer that will then allow you to experience the presence of God in the course of the overflow into the rest of your day, God's gracious presence at work in your day. Even in the most difficult circumstances, you'll have that certitude of faith that he is with you, but not just with you, that God is a provident God and his providential care is extending over your life into the details of your today. And that's easy when things are going well, but even when things are going very harshly and difficult, God's providence is still at work, but not at work in some general, vague background way. No, his will is being expressed in the circumstances, in the difficulties, in the suffering, and he will meet you, and his will can meet you right in those places. Now, this then leads to the two things. The first is just a quick impact. The impact is that when you're making this flow of things, even when you're in these harsh circumstances, he said that he knew peace and joy. Did you get that? When he was able to experience through prayer, the practice of the presence of God, that God's providential care and his will at work in his life, even in these terrible circumstances, led to an interior reality of peace and joy, even in the most harsh, difficult circumstances. That's a supernatural gift from God. That's the calmness at the eye of the hurricane. He was definitely living a hurricane life, and he had peace and joy in the center. But there's more. So he talks about that peace and joy that accompanied him in life, in his time in Russia. And this is why. Like, how can God will for me these trials and sufferings and how is he meeting me as the trial, as the suffering, as the difficulty, as the brokenness, as the manifestation of sin? How? And it's what you and I have learned as offer it up. Offer it up. That Jesus, who draws close to me in prayer, in the intimacy of that union in prayer, is also going to draw close to me in his passion. And he's going to draw me into his passion. So he will identify that biggest place of despair and darkness that he ever experienced as his time in the Garden of Gethsemane. That was his joining with Christ in that place of darkness in the garden. But then on top of that, we have the reality of the passion of Christ itself. So the labors, the physical labors and suffering, the torments that he underwent interiorly at the level of his soul, as well as physically and relationally, all of those trials and difficulties, all of that that happened to him, he was able to associate with Jesus Christ's death on the cross. That Jesus came to redeem the world, to rescue the world from its fallenness, and to elevate it to a status of new creation. And doing that was not only the work of Christ, but it was Father Chizik's great privilege to be drawn into it as well. And that's what he brings out in this book as well. This theme of being united to Christ at the point of his passion. That when he felt this initial prompting, this urging to go on mission from the Jesuit house where he was. I think it was in Pennsylvania, to go all the way to Poland and then into Russia. The mission was to be a missionary, right? That was, he was going to be a missionary. Well, a missionary is what? To fulfill the mission of Christ, to proclaim the gospel. And what's the most profound way that we proclaim salvation and bring the fruits of salvation to bear on this earth? It's through union with Christ crucified. And so little did he realize that he was prophetically anticipating, without him realizing it, that he was going to be brought near to the passion of Christ. And so his daily sufferings were a daily being brought into union with Jesus Christ in his passion. And if he had that ability, now how did he have that ability to connect, to sense a participation in, or a participation, a rich connection, an interconnection between what he was undergoing and what Christ underwent? Oh yeah, that's right. That goes all the way back to the prayer, the practice of the presence of God, the providence of God, the uniformity with God's will, the seeing of God's will in this, that peace and joy that overflowed led him to the realization that he was fulfilling his mission. He was not only fulfilling his mission in the times that he had to hear confessions of prisoners or say mass for them or have spiritual conversations because they knew he was a priest. No, it was what he underwent. It was the suffering. That was his missionary fulfillment. And what did this lead to? This led to zeal. He uses the phrase zeal. He uses enthusiasm. He uses energy. He talks about he was fired up. He had this desire, right? So he uses that language quite a bit. And the fervor, the zeal, the desire, the he was set on fire with all of this uncontainable enthusiasm to give himself over more and more fully to the work that he was about. Where did that was the overflowing fruit. That was the ultimate fruit of his connection to the passion. That this was going to be the way that he fulfilled his mission. So are you catching this? Are you catching the flow of this man's life day to day? And the way that he spells it out and he leadeth me, it is an incredible spotlight. It's more like a laser beam on our lives. No matter what you're undergoing, you, brothers and sisters, what you're undergoing can be a place of connecting you to the passion of Christ. So even if you're saying, I can't see how God's present, I can't see how God's being provident, I can't name how this could possibly be God's will for me, you have to go all the way forward into, oh, I get it, this darkness that has landed on my life, on my family, is connecting me to Christ's redemptive passion. He is bringing me into his passion, and he's bringing what I'm undergoing into what he underwent. And that's going to bear fruit for salvation in ways that I can't see it. And that, he's saying, will lead to a zeal and an enthusiasm. And that's the final point I'll say for today. The one thing I want to leave with was he ends up saying, this will lead to a whole new set of Christians and Catholics who will follow him in their dedication to do the same thing. That's what he says. He says that others will, he imagines that by him going through all this and going through all this with others, that that'll lead to this birth of a faith, a church that is more dedicated, more missionary, more courageous, more willing to follow that same path that he lived so incredibly. He wrote that 40 years ago. And when I take a look at what's actually happened in the church in the last 40 years, well, numerically, demographically, We actually have continued to grow as a Catholic Church numerically in numbers. The loss of faith of especially the younger generations has been shocking. And maybe if we were willing to follow the path laid out by Father Chizik in He Leadeth Me, prayer first, practice the presence of God, trust in divine providence, uniformity with God's will, following Him in all things, even through His passion, that doing that would be the way for us to see the renewal that He called for, that He believed would come. Well, that's His challenge for us, and I hope that we'll take it. God bless your day. Join me tomorrow for more of the program.